There's that rooster and the coffee pour. You always know when you hear that, you're waking up to Rosie on the House, broadcasting all across the great state of Arizona in a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. We're going to make you happy you tuned in. We've got the entire team here on standby just for one reason, to answer any question in this hour that you might have about your landscape, garden, lawn, trees, hedges, irrigation, outdoor lighting, fertilizing, trimming, cutting, mowing, hedging, whatever it is having to do with the outside of your home, from the foundation wall to the property line. We're outside the home here at Rosie on the House for the next hour with Bill Jenkins from Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping, our resident expert of the day. Our number to reach us is 1-888-767-4348.
And with a little bit of dryness over the last couple weeks.
That's correct.
Time to start watering again, as I understand it.
We had that really big rain on November 22nd, I believe.
Wonderful.
1.7 inches on the average.
Awesome.
So we turned off our systems for a while there, but now with the fact it really hasn't rained since even late December, a little sprinkle, it's time to water again. Start to turn the irrigation system on, look for problems, get ready for the warm weather that's coming. Spring's around the corner.
That is the one thing about turning off the sprinklers, is when you turn it back on, there almost always seems to be a new head that's sprout a leak somewhere.
You just need to keep an eye on it.
Isn't that the truth?
Just like any system in the home. You know, you wouldn't go without changing your AC filter or cleaning, plumbing. You know, it needs a little bit of attention from time to time. So you want to look at it. I like to see my customers look at their systems at least once a month. Just walk through it, look for problems, turn it on. But I'll give some tips here in a little bit how to look for leaks.
It's not just as obvious as seeing it all the time.
I've encountered properties, in addition to just overwatering, different properties where water just doesn't show itself. They're mountainside properties, other areas where there's a lot of vegetation, and they can have a pretty significant leak, and the water sort of goes unnoticed.
There's multiple times we get emails, calls at the office. My water bill jumped. You know, it went from $150 to $500. Oh, no. And I don't see a leak anywhere. And a blue moon situation, the leaks inside the house in that sense.
And that's the first thing you want to do, is start isolating. You want to decide, is it in the house? Is it outside the house? If it is outside the house, where is it? And there's a method to the madness there.
Madness to the method?
Yes.
Well, I would tell you what, this is pretty quick. We're going to go to calls here in just a moment. Generally speaking, when we bring in the show and we introduce it and we bring the tips and everything, we often go to make a call or two, and every single line is up, and Julie's got all these calls already screened. So I'm thinking that we've got a built-up demand here. It's been the holidays are always, you know, even like you were saying, the sprinklers have been off, but even when there is a problem, there's just only so many things you can get through when you're planning for family, when you got guests in town, when you're trying to do your ho-ho-ho shopping. And yes, so we have, let's start it off. Ed and Phoenix, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I live in an apartment near 12th Street in Indian School, and I live near a city park. And I noticed that the city park, there are cassia bushes that have a wider leaf than the one I have. My cassia bush only blooms in February. It has a circular yellow flower, but the ones at the city park bloom all year round, and they have a wider green leaf. And I wondered, what is the name of it? They bloom all year round with yellow blossoms, the exact same kind of blossom that I have on my cassia bushes, but mine only bloom in February.
So many desert plants have yellow for a bloom. That's one of the most common colors for desert plants. And that's a tough one over the radio to try and to identify. I'd need to take a little closer look at the plant.
And even though it looks like
it could be something similar, but not the same plant.
If it's not blooming year-round, it's probably not the same.
And if the leaf structure is not the same, it's likely a different variety or different plant. That's a tough one. I'm a little stumped there. I'd have to take a look at it.
Have you ever heard, he said Indian School on 12th Street, so yep. He's in Phoenix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the city of Phoenix prosecuting anybody for picking blooms?
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't go pick a bloom and take it to a nursery?
Oh. But take a picture.
Oh, take a picture and bring it in.
Everyone's got a smartphone now. Take a picture.
And at Indian School, you can mosey up to, let's see, there's on Glendale and about 12th Street, there is Whitfield. If you go over to 40th Street, just south of Camelback, there's Baker.
Yep.
And Baker, man, they've got tons of flowers. I would
wonderful
think if somebody
nursery
knows
really nice
anything
nursery
about Berridge is uh-huh also known for their flowers.
Right there in Camelback.
Either one of those, just bring in, like you said, snap
take
shot
a picture and show it to one of the nursery experts. I think that's going to be the best way for you to identify it.
Now, are you familiar with Spring Valley, Arizona, Bill?
I'll be honest, I'm not.
Rosie?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Isaac Cordes Junction.
Yep. All right. I had to look that up myself. I'm like, Spring Valley.
Cordes
huh
Junction, baby. Yep. It's between Cordes Junction and old original Cordes.
And that's where Scott is calling in this morning. Welcome to the program, sir.
Oh, well, thank you.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay, well, I'm backed up right next to BLM land. And I want to do a spring garden, you know, garden this summer and this spring. And I'm wondering if I can go out there and I know I can go out there and pick up the cow patties. But how should I mix it in with the soil for the garden? Yeah.
That's a new one. I haven't had that question before.
Well,
it's organic material.
He's dealing with the soil around Cordes Junction.
And you're fenced in, right?
Yes, so totally fenced in.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, because there is some free range up there, and you'll lose whatever you plant.
Oh, yeah, we've got plenty of javelina and everything else running around outside the fence.
You've got a good supply of interspersed rock in your soil, and you've got a very porous, powdery content. I'm going to tell him he ought to over-excavate a garden 12, 18 inches down and just bring
improve the soil,
compost back in.
Yeah, bring in some good composted material, a little bit of soil mixed with that.
Good compost. Okay.
Yeah, make your own soil blend. That's going to be your most successful way to garden, and that'll go light years towards a successful garden, is spending the time to do the soil prep. If I had, all the times I've seen folks try to garden and not put the effort into making the soil right, it's easy to skip that because that's hard work, but boy, that makes a huge difference.
It's going to make a huge difference. It's going to take years for you to bring that soil around. In my experience, I don't know where you're going to buy bulk compost up there, but there's four or five locations here in the valley.
Well, sure.
And not far up the road, you got Mortimer's Family Farm that, you know, I would imagine the amount of soil.
Visit with
they,
the Mortimers. That's a great idea.
If you go far up the Orm Road, what's the farm right there that you always stop at that's got the...
Orm Ranch up there.
Yeah, I bet they... you know, they're big enough farm that they're getting truckloads in. I don't know where it's coming from, but you're not far off the 17. Might be worth building a relationship with them and have them, you know what? Why don't you swing one of those dump trucks in? I'll pay you cash for it. Drop the load.
Cow patty idea was kind of a neat idea, though.
That's organic material.
And he has a good supply of it in that area. How big a garden are we talking? Are we talking 10 by 10, or are we talking...
Well, right now, I've done only a 70 square feet right now.
Okay.
That's a modest garden.
Oh, yeah, you could fit that dirt load in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
But if you got a big truck.
But you're going to... if you stay with it, that 7x7 is going to be 14x14 by the end of the summer. It'll be 28x28 for the fall planting. I mean, it's a very contagious hobby.
It's addictive.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. I've been a gardener my whole life.
So. Oh, wonderful. Well, How long have you been in Spring Valley?
Well, I've been here for 12 years now.
And what will you plant? What will be your Spring Valley garden?
Well, winter here... winter, early spring, peas, lettuce, radishes, celery.
Do you cover your gardens in the winter and greenhouse them, or do you just open air it?
Open air it for the winter vegetables.
Okay. All right. Very good.
In the summertime, tomatoes grow wonderful up in these parts.
Yes, they do. They do a great job.
I recently moved to another area here in Spring Valley, and I'm wondering about the cow patties and all that out back.
Well, you can use them, but you do have to leach them and
salts.
Lots of salt.
Yeah. So you want to leach that salt out by good irrigations.
You're not just going to want to use straight cow pie. You're going to need to add some other compost organic material to that. And that's what the bulk organic. You know, they got some vermiculite in there and some things to hold the moisture.
If you've ever been to a livestock show or a dairy farm after it rains, around the manure,
rich,
there's like this.
Rich.
The,
nice.
The water's like a deep, dark brown. And
they call it compost tea.
Yeah. You would never stick a seed in that.
I'll stick to
you
chamomile.
You would never stick your finger.
Yeah, yeah. So. But I'll tell you, for an area like that, that is adjacent to so much wildlife area, I don't think I would do a garden in Spring Valley that wasn't a raised garden like Romy's built at his house. He's raised everything off the ground 3 or 4 feet, retained it, imported the soil. You've got it animal-proof, cat-proof, bird-proof. And with my back, which isn't a bad back, but an aging back, gosh, picking and working everything at waist height as opposed to ankle height makes a big difference.
And if you build a little wall to contain this compost that's maybe about 22 inches high or so, that's a wonderful seat wall. You can go and sit right there and garden, keep the bed fairly narrow, and you can get to it from both sides.
Another,
a lot of that.
And another perfect application of the Bellegarde retaining wall system. It's so easy to put up.
Yep.
I think the retaining walls are a lot easier than the pavers.
And they're pretty.
To do pavers, it takes practice and get them in right.
That's a skill.
That's a skill. But even I can put in those dry stack retaining walls, and they're handsome, very handsome.
And in spite of how much, well, you know, I've got the raised beds and I have the dirt beds, you know, straight ground, row gardening, the traditional style. You know, and this is our second planting season with them, so it'll take a few years to get the soil right. This will be our fourth planting in the imported soil, which was Mel's mix. And I mean, you go in there with a rake, you scratch it up, re-level it with your hands, put your seeds in, and they're sprouting. It's a lot more of that on the ground. So, Scott, you've got your work cut out for you. There's a couple options. There's a couple of resources. And, of course, this one as well. It's Rosie on the House, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. When we get back, Barbara in Green Valley, Patty in Phoenix, and your line, 1-888-767-4348.